Today's episode of On Tap is brought to you by College Peep Show. Head on over to their website at repcps.com to check out their newest selection of hats, hoodies, tees, and drinking apparel. Use code ONTAP for 10% off your entire order. That's ONTAP, all capital letters, all one word. Back to the show.
Let's welcome back to another episode of On Tap with the Boys. Today, we have a very special guest with us here today, huh, Cody?
Yes, we do. Ricky from Waterwave TV, Waterwave Entertainment. What all do you do? What, I mean, you got so many outlets.
It's the umbrella LLC what corporation. Pages?
Yeah.
CEO.
Now I'm chilling on the couch and I'm tuned in. Tell her on the left, squats going in. Tuck on the screen looking at your bae. Meanwhile, down now here serving A1 of the dopeness. You've been feeling so hopeless when you got a drink on a shot.
Yes. Ricky from Waterwave TV would be, the extent of it. But yeah, we do a lot of things. You know, we just opened up the vintage store a year ago. Vintage shoes, Minnesota clothing brands with their podcast studio similar to this, but not as cool as this.
recording you guys got studio. A lot cooler colors in yours than we do ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the rustic look though. It fits the vibe and the name of the podcast.
That's so. For sure our vibe for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The bar vibe. No. So yeah, you have Waterwave TV and that's the name of pretty much everything you're on all of your social media and everything that you do. And I want to start out right off the gate with your store. I'm blown away. It's a vintage clothing store and vintage shoes. And whatnot. And I don't know anything about the shoes and whatnot, but I love thrifting. Mm-hmm. I'm a big thrifter. When I work down in the cities and I work construction, and on my rain days, I always hit all the thrift stores on the way back. And I seen some of the stuff that you release on your Instagram page and how it's awesome shit. Where do you find this stuff? Where do you go to get this?
I'd say the source for most of it would be like the Goodwill bins and shit like that, but we buy off of people a lot. Like people come in with like two, three totes of like t-shirts folded up and we pick which ones we want, set them aside, and we work out a deal for, like, a bulk deal. So, like, when the store needs to be restocked, that's usually kind of where we reach out to our, like, friends that we know have thousands of vintage shirts. Like,
yeah.
Huge market for it.
Yeah, like, hey, we need to bulk order, and, like, these people are probably paying, 20 cents a shirt. So,
that's
like,
crazy.
So, if we're giving them $5 to $10 a shirt or whatever, like, that's good margins for them. Huge. If we're buying, 100 at a time or whatever. So, like, that's where we get most of our stuff is buying off of people. We definitely thrift ourselves. I know when I was driving in, I seen that thrift store on the way here. I literally almost stopped and like pulled in and was like, all right, I got 20 minutes before 5 o'clock. Like,
I got her picked. I got her picked. I got her picked clean. You got nothing there.
You got all the race tees.
Well, no, the problem is when I go there, I only stick to the 3X section because then I just get depressed when I see the badass shirt. So there's probably a lot of good larges around there.
I don't know how late they're open or how long I'm going to be here, but I might have to check it out.
I was in Las Vegas last week. And I was at there's this mall. I can't remember the name of the mall. It's right off of the strip. And I saw this Dale Earnhardt Jr. It was like a Skittles, like button up racing jacket. Yeah. Looked like a fireproof jacket.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Dude, it was so cool. And I stopped in there and I'm like, dang, it's a large. How much is this? They wanted like $350.
Yep. I've seen that.
Holy, it's cool. I want to buy this thing, but I'm not going to buy it for that price.
Yeah, it's just shit that you can't find anywhere else.
Right.
Except for the person that basically had to get lucky enough to find it or saved it all these years, you know.
So is it hard for you to find good deals on this stuff or it just kind of comes and goes?
I'd say like the generic like Harley NASCAR band tees or like graphic tees like cartoons from when we were kids, like you can find a lot of tees like that for a pretty good deal off bulk sellers, like stuff that you would sell for $20 and you're trying to buy it for $5 to $10 to be able to at least double your money. So it's like you buy a bulk deal, you might have a couple in there you can make a little bit more money on, but it's pretty easy to find good enough shirts to put on the racks and that are actually 10 to 20 to 30 years old, so it actually fits like the motto of what you're selling. But the like super expensive like shit that you see for $300 for a t-shirt, and even though it has like five holes in it, it's still worth $300. Like that stuff's hard to find because when people get it, they don't want to get rid of it.
No.
Until like they're like, I'm ready to like sell all of these, and you get them, for like a third of the price and try to get that full price. So it's
right.
Like, yeah.
So I mean, let's rewind a little bit here. You don't just resell vintage clothing. You also do what? You guys have a recording studio for music in your store. You also do a podcast. You also, what else? What all do you got going on? You sponsor athletes.
Yeah.
Like, you guys got your hands in everything.
Yeah, we also resell sneakers. So Jordans and Yeezys and Dunks, SBs.
Which is nuts to me. So Tyler and I were talking about this. Like, we don't
know anything
like,
about the
shoes. We're from the middle of nowhere, Minnesota, right? Yeah. Like, we're small town guys.
Bro, I'm like, wearing, this military-issued fucking sneaker right here, dude.
We from the still
a Nike sticker on this thing. Get me $100, man.
So, like, we just don't understand the resale the value of sneakers. We just never been a part of that culture, right?
Yeah.
So like what makes Jordans, what makes Yeezys, like, what gives these things value here for these things?
So it starts with the history and the equity of the Jordan brand itself. Like Michael Jordan, you know, and Nike obviously is the bigger brand, but Michael Jordan, you know, one of the best NBA players, or people like to say he's the best NBA player of all time. He started it, and he has his whole legacy to carry on. So every time, like, you wear a Jordan, like, you have a piece of that history. It's kind of, I see, like, why, like, the brand itself is actually, like, respectable and is successful. For the resale value, it's basically the quantity. So if there's 100,000 or whatever, 1,000 amount of shoes, they're going to be sold out instantly because people know no matter what, if this is $200, it's going to be gone tomorrow, so someone's going to at least have to pay $250, $300, $400,
exactly. $500, yeah.
Whatever yep. it is.
Wow.
And a lot, everything's limited. And it's like some shoes are more expensive than others, obviously, and it's either because they're more limited or just the design or the demand. Like if it's a color that a lot of people like, for example, like the Jordan 1 Mochas, it's a brown. Like, have you seen the Travis Scott ones?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like that, but without the reverse swoosh. It's like basically the exact same shoe and without the little Travis stamp. So it goes for, like, it was retail $170, and it's worked its way up to like $600, $700.
Wow.
Because it's a shoe that, like, everyone can, like, relate with. Like, they can wear brown, which and black, which is about everything.
Okay, you know? Yeah,
like,
neutral colors. Yeah,
and, like, yeah. And, like, the big, like, the Chicago ones and, like, the Royal ones, like, the original ones that Jordan wore on court.
So these are red, white, black, yeah, right? Like, that's like, the Chicago ones?
The Chicago's are, yeah, red, white, and black. There's a few, like, a bread is also red, white, and black, but they're all, wherever the colors are positioned, like, those are a lot of shoes that Jordan actually wore. So, like, the OG ones, like, that like Jordan actually wore in the court and around off the court and shit, those are the ones that kind of go for a lot, even though they do get re-released. But those are the ones that always kind of go up, or anyone that kind of like, around his era. But it's really just a supply and demand thing, and everyone wants to look good. But I think a very, like, misconception of, like, sneakers is, like, if I spend $300 on a pair of shoes, which is a lot of money, like, no matter what, as long as I take care of that shoe, or even say I never wear it, like, no matter, like, in a year, that $300 shoe is going to be worth probably $400 to $450. So it's like, if I never wear it, I'll probably be able to make money. But even if I do wear it, I could probably get my money back as long as I don't beat it up.
That's crazy.
So it's like, people obviously spend $1,000 on some shoes and then beat them up and they're worth nothing.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
like, if you're smart with your shit, like, you can basically wear nice clothes for free.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
It's an investment.
Yeah. That's so nuts.
Yeah. Oh, so for you getting all these retro clothing, all these sneakers, do you run into a problem with fakes?
Like, every week someone tries to sell a fake shoe, but a lot of times it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, you just call them right out.
Yeah, I mean, we just let them know, like, yeah, we're going to have to pass because we don't think they're real. And a lot of times they're like, what do you mean? Like,
I suppose they get offended by that.
Like, either offended, they'll play the card like, oh, they were a gift anyways, or like, oh, you know.
They knew.
Yeah, like, who's they that? Knew, usually, most of the time.
Who's that, like, who's that garbage pail looking guy that has the TV show about, like, vintage clothes and shit, like Scrappy or Scruffy or some shit, over in, like, Los Angeles or some shit? You never seen that? I think it was like a Netflix show, but this dude owns a vintage store and, like, okay. resells tees and shoes and stuff. And that's how that's pretty much the only reason why I know anything about what you're doing. And I was just wondering if that hurts, like, because, like, fucking American Pickers came through and you can't buy a gas cap for under $1,000.
American so, like, Pickers is a goated show.
Yeah, for sure. But it ruined the market to, yeah. like, try to find shit. So I was just curious if, like, you can see the vintage market and shit getting harder and harder.
It is happening as, like, we're talking. Like, literally, like, yeah. it's becoming, like, I mean, you guys are on TikTok and shit, too. But I've been seeing a lot of TikToks of, like, people posting what they find at the bins for $20. You know how many people are going to go? Everyone's going to start going to the bins. Now, you and the regular 10 guys you see there every day is now is going to be you and the regular 30 people you mm-hmm. see there every day because yeah. everyone's getting on the trends and like, oh, I could find this. But a lot of people are going to fall off. They're going to go to the bins three times, find nothing worth their time, or buy, like, a bunch of shit and then try to sell it, and they're not going to be able to sell it because it's not actually vintage or it's not actually as what they think it is. So people are going to fall off, just like everything always gets hyped up. Everyone wants to do something. Not everyone's good at doing it, so they fall off. But
yeah,
it's definitely becoming very popular, like, at least wearing the clothes, like buying them from resale shops has yeah. become, like, a very, very popular thing.
How do you keep track? Like, how do you take care of this old shit? Like, is there, like, special wash? Do you wash it at all, or do you just, like, try to wear it, like, minimal amount? Because, so I collect hats myself. Mm-hmm. I collect old hats from, like, the 80s and 90s and stuff. And I find they, like, fucking disintegrate. But I wear them to, like, work every day because I love how they feel. So do you have to take care of them? Because, like, the stitching and shit will just fall apart, won't it?
Yeah, on the clothes, it kind of depends. Like, when it... To answer the washing question, if the clothes stink, we definitely wash it. Or if they're dirty, like if you want to get the most out of your money, you might as yeah. well wash it. Like, it's not going to cost you much more. Just throw it in the washer. Mm-hmm. Definitely dry clean a lot of expensive pieces that are, like, dingy or, like, kind of weak.
Yeah.
Definitely have to dry clean those ones. What was the other half of the question? I already said.
I don't know. I blabber a lot, but no, I just know. No,
definitely have to clean them, take care of them before you put them on the shelf because.
Yeah. But then if I was to buy a, if I was to buy a piece or whatever, is this something you wear like weekly or is this like very?
No, it's definitely like you buy that because you can put a fit together for it and you wear it maybe once or twice a month. Like I mean, not all of our vintage shirts are like, or all the, like, I guess you could still, they're not technically, vintage means 20 years old.
Okay.
I don't know if you, like, that's a term. Vintage is supposed to be 20 years old or more.
Okay.
But like a lot of stuff we sell on the shelves is like, or on our racks is like 10 to 12 years old. And they're not like falling apart by any means. Like it's like a shirt that you, it probably almost feels like one that you have in your closet that you bought last year that you've washed and worn 100 times or
that,
something.
That tells me Limp Bizkit shit's about to pop off. I need to get on the Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, shit. Wait, 100%. 2000s is now vintage. Yeah,
like, that's crazy. So that's weird. Crazy. We're getting old as fuck.
We're getting really fucking old.
We're getting old. We're getting old. Speaking of old. Okay.
Cody.
Have you heard about this deal where Jeff Bezos is making them take down this historic bridge to get his mega yacht through this canal?
It was like $500
million.
$500 million
yacht. Oh, well, I thought that was what his yacht was worth.
The yacht was worth $500 million.
I thought it was $500 million to take the bridge down and rebuild it.
I know it was
that'd
a lot of money.
A yacht if he was going to pay $500 million.
I know it was a lot of money to take down this bridge because not only is he paying to take it down, but there's also some fines associated with it because it's considered a historical landmark.
Mm-hmm. So they're destroying it.
So they're sort of destroying it. That's what a lot of the controversy is. Like they're worried that this bridge is like not going to have the same historic value because they got to take it apart, you know?
The way I look at it is that they're pretty much going to like, it's like a free refurbishing for them. Like Bezos is going to pay to take this thing apart. Oh, this bolt was fucked up. I'm going to repair it. Like you're kind of helping out. I mean, you're ruining the old factor of it, but you know, you could be fixing things that could have been bad about it too.
Right. Right. You just unplugged that light right behind you.
I did.
Yeah. No, you hit something with your leg. Oh, you just moved and it turned off. Anyways, awesome. Ricky. So I noticed you guys do a lot of the content with YouTube, TikTok, like you guys are big into putting other content out. Do you have like a content strategy put together for Waterwave? Like that you guys do like a regular posting schedule for a lot of this stuff?
Every time I try to do one, it never ends up actually like happening after like the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So it's really just like, I really go on the fly. Like every day, I kind of go day by day. Like obviously like we plan this ahead of time or like a few things that like happen, like, all right, this has happened on this day or we're going to try to make this happen by this day.
But yeah.
A lot of stuff is very on the fly. Like,
yeah.
Like, I have no interviews scheduled right now, but like tomorrow, I may just see someone on my Instagram page, like, drop a song and be like, you should come in to interview like tomorrow, like, if you want, or like, as soon as you can. And like, that happens to be something that we end up having to do and produce.
Yeah.
And then, like, I find out, like, we do a lot of concert videos. So if I just see a concert that someone's in town that I didn't know about, like, I'll be like, all right, we go do that, get that shit out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But absolutely. A lot of our content's like, as soon as I just think of the idea, I just do it and put it out. Like, mm-hmm. Instead
you gotta.
Of like planning, but I do we have a blogging team, so like we're starting to get on a schedule of like Mondays we're going to drop this type of blog, and then mm-hmm. you know, maybe on Wednesday we're going to drop this type of blog to kind of have some type of like normality and people to look forward to something.
Yep.
But other than that, it's very random. We do want to get on a schedule of like Mondays we drop podcasts, Wednesdays we drop this, you know, Fridays we drop that, but we're kind of just at a point where we're just doing everything.
So like even podcasts, you just kind of randomly will release them?
Yeah.
There's no schedule for it?
No, I just release
them. No shit.
Which is I don't think is like I think it's good to have a schedule because like, I don't like, I'll just randomly be like, this interview dropping tonight just because I don't have anything else to post. And then I'll post it and it may not get the best response like immediately, but then as people like realize, oh, that came out, then they start pouring in. But like a lot of our videos don't really get too much immediate attention, which is probably because we don't have a strict schedule. People are like, oh, this Friday, there's going to be a new Waterwave vlog dropping. It's like, oh, damn, a new Waterwave vlog dropped yesterday. Like, I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
Like, so it's definitely like a flaw in that system, but just a lot of shit going on. So.
It seems to work though. You guys got to. A decent following on pretty much every platform. Do you attribute a lot of this to like, I know you were big when a lot of these riots were going on in Minneapolis. I know you were live streaming a lot of this stuff. Do you attribute a huge part of your follower base to that?
Yeah.
Or where did you see like the biggest push in your following?
It was
for all
sure,
platforms.
So YouTube for sure was a live stream. We went from like 2,000 subs to like 9,000 subs in 2 days.
Really?
Dang.
Because of the riots. And like we were... live, and then we almost hit 10, and I was so happy we didn't, because like after the rides were over, we lost like 1,000.
Dang.
But I was like,
that much?
Yeah, because people are there to watch the live stream.
That's, you know what, crazy. I mean?
Oh, they followed, so they wanted, so, more.
They subscribed, so they know when we went live next.
Yeah.
Because for tomorrow morning, because I'd be like, you know, I'll be out there for like 8 hours a day, and they'd be like, all right, well, I got to go home. Like, but subscribe, notifications on, so you know when I go live tomorrow, because it's going to be going on again tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
People would watch that much.
There was times we had like 12,000, 15,000 people in our live stream.
Damn,
like,
wow. Shit. That's huge.
And they're just watching?
Just watching like buildings burning and like people protesting and shit.
Crazy. You were in the shit.
Yeah.
Like, you live in Minneapolis.
Yeah. I lived like 8 minutes from like that Target that burnt down or whatever. Like,
so like, wow. Well, you were there, obviously. You were live streaming the thing. Mm-hmm. Was it nuts?
It was.
It felt crazy.
Like you were in a movie, like for real. Yeah. Like, and it's like
completely lawless.
Yeah.
Like at this time, you could do whatever you want. Whatever you want.
And that was before we actually. That was before we opened up our store. So like we had that to not have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like we were freely being able to like basically walk around and see what the fuck is going on. But yeah, it was completely lawless. Like every single business in that area of like, for example, that Target and that third precinct that got burnt down. Every single business within like a half a mile radius was broken into. Windows shattered, everything, like,
wow,
like nothing to do. And like even like in the area where our store is now, all those like the businesses that sold like high end merchandise were all broken into, and like everything around that area, the whole Minneapolis, even St. Paul, like every single high like Target, grocery store, auto shop, like every area that had like a highlighted area of businesses were all broken into. There wasn't one place. Oh, like there was like barely even like restaurants open and shit for a while.
Wow.
Like for like a couple of weeks. Damn. Because one, either they had been broken in, or two, they were boarding up and just not open so that people couldn't just walk in and just do whatever the fuck they wanted, because the cops were guarding shit, you know.
And also they're not there, like,
yeah,
they got other shit to worry about. They're trying to like protect people's lives. Like, they don't give a shit if someone's stealing stuff. Like, that's the least of their worries right now.
Yeah. So with you selling vintage stuff and everything, it's hard to distinguish what the value of that product is. Is that something that insurance would have covered if you were there, if they came in and like vandalized all of it? I feel like that'd be an insurance nightmare.
At least, because with insurance claims, we've had to do a couple insurance claims, you know, owning stores, a lot of break-ins happen and shit like that.
Okay.
But we have to do it, and it's usually off of like what you paid for the item. So if you keep track of like how much you spent, and like it is hard to keep track, because like we don't necessarily inventory every single vintage shirt we do.
Mm-hmm.
We inventory all the shoes, because those are like easier to kind of keep track of, like
Jordan
1 this, instead of like, you know, large vintage, et cetera, et cetera. Like it's kind of hard to keep track of and make a label for every single thing in there. But I don't know. Luckily, I mean, we've had a couple break-ins and not a lot of stuff has been stolen, but the stuff that had been stolen was like items that were really like easy to be like, this is what it's worth, and get the insurance claim on it.
Yeah. They took the big shit.
But yeah, like,
That's nuts. If you guys were open when all that shit was going on,
we actually,
no doubt in your
the
mind.
So that was the George Floyd riots, the one that we live streamed and gained like all them flights. But then when Dante Wright got killed with she thought she had the taser and she killed him.
Yeah.
That basically started with like round two, and we had the store at that time. So we had to camp outside of our store for like all night from
and
like
basically like, hey, like don't PM. Fucking come in here.
Yeah. Cause what happened was I went to go see, like, cause they were protesting outside of a precinct, and I went, was live streaming it. And then I started getting a bunch of texts like, yo, like this shoe store just got broken into. Yo, this shoe store just got broken into. And like it was like slowly getting closer to like our area. So we dipped, head back. And by the time we got there, like 30 minutes later, like two cars try to pull up, but we, a few of us have like weapons and shit and whatnot.
Damn.
So we literally like shoot them away and like threaten them. Like they're, you know, they're yelling out their car, like, we're going to get you guys.
Wow.
Like, it was like, it was literally like a crime scene. The cops came, were like, you guys are on your own tonight. He's like, you guys got security for the block tonight? Like they're telling like us five guys working the store, and then another shoe store is right across the street.
Wow.
From us, like out watching our store, like basically, you guys got the block tonight. Like we're too busy doing this shit.
That's crazy.
Lawless
so we
shit.
Literally. Yeah, like we literally had to. Yeah. We literally camped out of our store until the bus route came back again in the morning, and then,
damn,
and then went home and slept.
So when you were filming, when you would go for the George Floyd riots, when you would live stream that, how did you, like, would you just go wherever the action was, or how, like, from, would you do it a full day, like a work day?
Basically, like I'd go for like two live streams straight without stopping, like 2 to 3 hours until my phone overheated or died, and then. You know, go back to my car, go home, because, you know, it's only like a 10-minute drive, and just get lunch or whatever, and then come back, because that shit, anything amplified from before, and do it all again. And it's kind of funny, when I was on a live stream, and I was like, my phone's about to die, someone donated like $150, and was like, go buy a Mophie charger, go buy a Mophie case.
Oh, no shit.
A portable charger. So I did. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah,
that's wild.
So I did it, and then I think I eventually ended up losing it, which sucks. But like I did, but I did buy it, and then I was able to like stay out there for like, all right, like, I have a full phone charger and I have a whole extra battery, and I would be able to do it for like 6 hours straight.
Or yeah,
like, maybe take like a little break in between to actually like go, you know, not have to just be holding my phone like this, be able to actually return phone calls like and whatnot. But it was kind of like I knew like my family was worried about me, so they would literally be watching my live streams because I can't answer my phone because I'm on my phone live streaming. So
making
they
just sure watch you're my okay,
live stream and make sure I'm still. Live streaming, God, I guess.
That's wild. That's wild. But I mean, it comes down to it. Like, as long as you're not presenting a threat to someone else, like you're not really in any immediate danger.
No. There's no. There was no danger from like everybody that was besides the Marines and the Army and everyone that got called in, like and the cops, like everybody that was like a part of the protest. Nobody was like really hurting each other. There was no like it was very peaceful. Besides everyone yelling and you know throwing their water bottles at the cops, but the only thing you really had to worry about was like the tear gas and shit. That was so bad.
That's crazy.
Like we got.
You ever get hit with that?
Yeah, it was bad. It was the first day we went. Like it went from peaceful to non-peaceful, and they shot the tear gas. I didn't even know what to expect, but that shit eats you up.
Like, what's it like? Explain your experience with the tear gas,
bro. It's like if you took blazing sauce from Buffalo Wild Wings and just stuck your head in it,
dude. Really?
And it's like opened your eyes. Yeah,
like, doing a fucking road trip with Sam.
It's like if you. I don't know if you've ever been pepper sprayed. I've never been pepper sprayed.
I've been pepper sprayed.
I assume it's probably like the pretty similar solution. So it's like maybe if you had a pepper spray, but it was a fucking shower head showering down in your face. Like I don't even like that's how your face would feel. Like,
wow,
it's bad. It's so bad, and I'm pretty sure that's just banned in war, but they can use it for protests. Like. I'm pretty sure tear gas is banned in war because you can't see. Like, you literally can't see when it's in your eyes. Like, you open your eyes and it's just blurry and it hurts.
That's I've seen videos of, like, people, like, washing their face off with milk and, like, all this crazy shit.
There's a shout-out nerdy, but there was a whole, like, medical team that wasn't actually doctors, but, like, they just formed a crew of people to, like, have towels, Band-Aids, milk, like, whatever they could buy from the local stores, basically. Or, people would be looting it from the stores because they're all closed, but they would... make good use of the looted stuff and like have like a whole section of like granola bars, like chips, snacks, like waters, like medical supplies. Like they were like, all right, well, if all this shit's getting taken, let's take like the shit that we can use to help people that are getting hurt by the cops, getting shot by pellet guns,
like a Robin Hood.
Yeah. Like real life Fortnite in Minneapolis around that time. That's crazy. Yeah, basically. insane. I just can't picture that. Obviously we live like an hour away from you guys. Mm-hmm. So like we didn't get any of that around here. You know, like, so we didn't have any riots or anything like that, but just watching it from the live streams, like, and we're close enough where like, we feel the repercussions of it, you know, from like socially where it's like, this is a crazy topic. This is like, we're very close.
Life changing for sure. I don't know, for me during it, you were talking about the lawless. It was fucking awesome. The freeways were incredible during riots.
No police.
I mean, dude, I had this one time I went home and a car came with no license plates on. License plates stripped. They're ripping like 120 past me on the freeway. And this was in the middle of St. Paul. And I started going 100 with two other cars. We're all going 100. I work in Lakeville. Fuck, dude, I got home in like 45 minutes. It was the fastest I ever got home. And we're all just ripping 100, like just going. Yeah. There's no cops. Bro, we didn't have to worry about cops.
Stop signs, no. Like, stoplights, nothing. Like it's like, and it's kind of scary because two people will do it and then they'll have to like swerve down. Like I've seen a lot of almost.
But it makes you think, you know, we would be probably pretty fucked if we didn't have that fear of a cop could catch us. Yeah. If we didn't have a fear of a cop is there.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd be fucked. It would be complete just. Yeah, anarchy.
And dude. Shit, like, I mean, in Minneapolis, like, a lot of times there is no fear of a cop stopping you unless you're trying to kill somebody. Like,
oh, really?
Like, there's really not much. That's because there's a lot of, like, shootings and shit that happens out there. So it's, like, petty crime shit. Like they don't really got the time. I mean, maybe there's, like, traffic people that are pulling people over for speeding. But, like, a lot of shit, like, doesn't even, they build.
Right.
Like,
it's not that they don't care. They're just, there is the lack of the police force down there right now also. Like, I know very closely a St. Paul police officer. And basically, they're like, you know, we just don't have the manpower. Like, we got nobody that wants to work here right now. Yeah. So, like, what does go on? We just got to be really selective on what the fuck we do because, like, we can't, like, we, not that we don't care, but, like, we don't care if someone's trying to shoplift a bag of chips. Like, we're worried about this lady that's, like, worried about getting killed, getting into her apartment.
Yeah,
literally. Priorities.
That's
priorities.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I've definitely felt it firsthand. Like, we've gotten our store broken into a couple times, and, I mean, they're never really. Like caught the people that did it or like started like a true investigation and like updated us on it or some shit. So it's like,
you're right.
He's like, yeah, they took a few things from us. They got a lot of other shit to worry about. So
Jordan, can we get another beer?
Yeah.
They want to do it.
Can I get another beer, please?
You want to be the beer lady? We got self behind here. I want one. Yeah, hell yeah, brother. Hook her up.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Dude, I took a pocket full of peanuts the other day when I was drunk, and I was like, fuck, dude, the cops are going to get me. I'm scared all the time. They're like over my shoulder up here.
No, seriously, dude. Like,
dude, no shit.
The highlight of their weekend is busting a high school party.
Yeah, up here.
A naked crackhead at Walmart. Like, dude, there's nothing that goes on.
We don't have the same level of priority that you guys deal with, which is like kind of that cultural shift that we got going on right now. Now, I'm going to get away from all this stuff because this is, you know, we're getting a little heavy. We don't normally go this heavy.
I'm actually impressed that you brought it up. Not going to lie.
What's that?
Nothing.
They brought up the riots.
Yeah.
It's extremely interesting. I want to hear it from the perspective of someone who's like been in the shit.
It was definitely the most monumental thing we've ever captured on our page. So absolutely. It's definitely something.
And in our lifetime, arguably. Yeah. Like, oh, dude. You know? Other than maybe 9/11, but we don't need to get into
that. That's not really our lifetime.
Yeah, it was. I was 5 years old.
Yeah, but we were so young, that's not like our thing. We weren't broadcasting it live on fucking YouTube.
Okay, Tyler.
Sorry.
I was broadcasting it live.
I don't remember it.
I remember.
What year was it? Like 2001.
2001. Oh, that was controversial to say what year was it. Dude, I'm like, fuck, dude.
I guessed it, right?
We're going to get canceled.
Yeah, you did.
We're going to get canceled.
Can you imagine if 9/11 happened today, how much footage there would actually be of those fucking planes hitting? It would be insane.
Oh, the footage would be everywhere.
Especially in New York. Think of all the cell phones that would just be filming. Every single day in New York.
But that's also the issue with our time is that everything's recorded.
Is filmed.
Fuck, dude. Cody would record me pissing back in college all the time. I can't get away from the cameras.
Tyler did some very questionable things when we were in college.
Yeah, I'm waiting. That's the only reason why I'm doing this podcast, because if I leave, Cody's going to fucking blackmail the shit out of me. I'm going right to jail. Yeah. Guarantee it.
Just kidding. Okay, on a lighter note, I wanted to bring up the topic of, have you guys seen this whole thing with Build-A-Bear? And their After Dark series.
Oh.
Have you seen this?
Dude. No.
Okay, hold on. I wrote this in my notes because I didn't want to butcher this. So
this is serious stuff right now.
Build-A-Bear launched a, quote, After Dark series of, like, basically horny teddy bears. Where, like, the photos for the ad campaign was a lion in what looks like nothing but a red silk robe. And then, like, a rabbit wearing, like, lingerie. And, like, kind of like sexualizing these like teddy bears.
Here's the problem. What's the target audience in something like this?
That's exactly my problem.
Who are they targeting with this?
I don't know, man. It sounds kind of hot.
I think I might be the target. You've seen how they make those bears, right?
No.
You've seen the video of how they stuff them with the pole?
I've been there.
I've never been there.
I'd have to take a trip.
Yeah.
But they actually they posted pictures of like the stuffed animals modeling lingerie, basically.
Yes. So it's like a lion with like its hand like this and like. Dude,
pretty much my boudoir shoot with a lion.
Yes.
Some people call me a lion sometimes with my mane and stuff. It kind of makes sense. So
I think they were basically just copying our boudoir shoot.
Yeah, actually, Build-A-Bear, I'm going to sue your ass.
Send them a C&D.
Coming for
it. Call it a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's like. That was my biggest question. Like, who are they trying to push these things to? Because obviously, Build-A-Bear, I think kids.
That is the biggest issue.
Like, that's the big thing.
Yeah. That's what is their target?
What are they getting at here?
Yeah.
So that
better be only available on the Vegas Strip.
That's a good point.
That's not a bad point.
Is there Build-A-Bear on Vegas Strip?
They should build one if it's going to be dark.
That throw me off. It's like dispensary, Taco Bell, Baja Blast, tequila, Build-A-Bear. Like, just fucking bangers in a row.
All in a row.
I've never been to Vegas, but that's what I imagine it being like.
So you guys are in the vintage resale market. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of these NFTs are a big thing right now.
Yeah.
With the NFTs, they're being compared a lot to the likes of like Beanie Babies. Mm. You guys ever dabble in that kind of stuff?
Beanbaggies?
Like stuffed animals, yeah, and like action figures type shit?
And maybe that's dumb. I mean, I don't know if, like, there is a market for it. I just don't know if you guys are into
personally,
that.
Personally, my dad was a part of the thinking Beanie Babies were going to be, like, worth a lot when they got older.
Really?
So we had a lot of Beanie Babies at our house. And I remember when I was younger, he was selling them at a garage sale for, like, whatever, like a dollar a Beanie Baby. Because he had all the ones that ended up not being worth a lot. And then I like bought them all off him. I was like, now there's going to be worse on it. Like, I carried on the legacy and bought them all off him or something. But
so this runs in your blood.
I guess
this vintage thrifting sort of mentality.
I guess collectors.
Yeah,
I definitely have been collecting a lot of sports memorabilia when I was younger. That was my big thing: sports cards and memorabilia. We do sell a small amount of sports cards at the store. I want to do more with it, but it's just a lot of sorting and like actually making it happen. And
you got to pay to like have them minted and all this stuff.
So it was going
to
be more of like,
or graded. I mean,
yeah, it was going to be more of a lot like vintage cards, like where I wouldn't even get them graded, but it's selling for like $5 a pop, like a Michael Jordan card or a Magic Johnson or just like some shit like that. But we have done action figures and stuff in our store, like old like Spider-Man action figures from the 70s or 80s or 90s or somewhere around
there. What's the craziest one you've ever sold? What's the highest value action figure you've ever seen?
Not super high value. I mean, I've ever seen at the Vintage Fest, there's definitely like a few $100, like $300, $400 like action figures. But
is that kind of the cap? Like I'm picturing Batman where like his cape was short.
From what the markets I've been at and like what we've bought and like been in front of, it hasn't been anything too crazy.
Okay.
It's definitely out there, but you know, we've sold a few for like, you know, $40 to $80 in our store, just like, you know, already still in the box packaged, like Spider-Man toy from 1980 or whatever.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
It's still, yeah, it's cool, but a lot of that stuff isn't too valuable, but there is like those ones where it's like, it was that one release that only 1,000 of them were made because of that movie. And, you know,
it's crazy.
And 700 of them are already open, so there's only 300 non-open ones left that have been recorded online, or, you know, like, so like, we haven't had too many of that type of stuff, but yeah, a lot of just
ads. So is the garage sale season just electric for you? Like,
I'm
do you
excited
garage sale
for it
everywhere?
I'm excited for it. I used to do, actually, my favorite thing is storage units, like Storage Wars.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing that. Yeah.
How do you get into that? How do you get into the Storage Wars thing? Like, unpaid for type storage units. How do you get into that?
So I started off just by watching the TV show really when I was younger. And then my dad's always been into like flipping or just finding extra ways to make money and shit. So we would go half and half on them. Like I worked a job in high school and shit too. So I would go half and half. Like whatever we spent $400 on a unit, we both throw $200 in. We'd calculate how much gas we spent to get there and, you know, garbage fees and shit. And then divvy our profits. Like he kind of taught me business that way.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I got into it. And then there was sometimes where we got a unit for like $1 cause no one wanted it. It looked like a lot of garbage. And then you go past the garbage and there's like a whole bar set up. You get like, basically like almost like what this place kind of looks like. You get like a little stool, like basically all these little lights and shit. Like there was like a bunch of these lights in there, like Gatorade fridges and, pool tables and like all this type of shit in there. And like, you just find like these, like, you know, you spend $1, you have to put a lot of work in, like a lot of manpower to move a lot of this shit.
Yep.
You make a few $1,000 off of just finding cool shit. And I think like just hitting that like one big one day was just like, yeah, that's kind of fun. I would do this more. I'm definitely going to get more into it this summer. And now that I'm starting to like figure out what I like, now that we have the store and like I can see a locker full of clothes when before I'd be like, this trash or whatever.
Yes.
Now I'd be like, there's garbage bags full of clothes in there and I get that for $1 because no one else wants to deal with it. I'm definitely taking that.
Right. Well, and now in the business that you're in, like finding super old clothes that no one else wants is now profitable. So like the realm of thinking like this, I can make a lot of money off of something that other people maybe not wouldn't have wanted normally.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
People just don't even know either. Like they could just have like a garbage bag or a box full of old clothes and that could be like $10,000 just sitting in there because of you bought it in the '70s when you went to their concert.
Right.
Like, and it's, people just don't know. And it's, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't know that their basement with the box with the dust on it is, it could buy them a whole new house.
Yeah. Pink Floyd tea or something like that. Yeah. Dude, I'm going to have to connect you with my grandma because I think my grandma is like a hoarder times 10. Like, okay, picture this. My dad was born in like 1975. She still has like all of these action figures and figurines from when he was a kid, like still in box. Like all, she was big on Star Wars for some reason also. So like Star Wars figurines still in boxes and like super pristine. So like, I'm going to have to link you up with my grandma.
Dude, fuck that, dude. That's all you. Big money. That's your inheritance, bro.
I'm going to send it to Waterway. We'll just like, hey.
I'll definitely take a look at it. But if there's something that's like a gem, then it's like, yeah, you might as well handle this one.
Dude, I don't want to kill the vibe right now, but we have a problem, boys. We got a big fucking problem that just absolutely dawned on my head right now.
What?
I ordered pizza 2 hours ago and paid for it and never went and picked it up.
Dude, what do I totally forgot.
I totally forgot I ordered pizza at 4 o'clock, dude. What do you do about something like that? What would you do? Would you just send a person over to go see if it's still there?
No, I'm going to say we'll just wait till we're down here with the pod. And then
just go over there and see if maybe we can like get a discount or something. Like, dude, my shit's been sitting there for a while.
We'll figure it out.
We might just make you a new one.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I'm throwing it back in.
No, I scheduled it for 7, you remember? Like, I I said on the phone, like, I'll be picking it up at 7 o'clock.
That would have been a good idea. I don't just think that far in the future. Just
screaming at him.
Yeah.
You're a little controversial today, Sam. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this, but I do want to talk about it.
No, today we shot our first skit with Sam here. We're going to see how it comes out. How do you feel about that? What's your thoughts, Sam?
Anxiety through the roof, nervous as fuck. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah,
but I do think it went good. I think
you got the Captain Cokes to ease the mind and just get you flowing.
Oh, yeah. I definitely had 2 or 3 Captain Cokes down by about noon. I was a little nervous.
We get this guy, you know, he's my protege. I'm mentoring him.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm new to this. I'm not really good at it yet.
He made me slam some beers earlier.
We did slam some beers earlier, but I'm like, dude, if I'm going to be your protege, you got to figure it out, you know? So I push him into it and push him into alcoholism. Look at him now.
Sensei Squatch.
He's looking good.
I know, and he's only 19.
16th birthday was yesterday.
He's of legal age, okay, people?
Oh, that's funny. Well, okay, I've been meaning to ask you, Ricky.
So the pizza's out of question.
Pizza's out of question.
Okay, it's already off my mind.
It's already off my mind. Tyler paid for it, so it's none of my worries.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you guys have a bomb pizza spot out here, though.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Dude, right across the street.
And what? I ordered some bomb ass shit, too. They got this Crybaby Craig's fucking, it's got celery, it's like hot sauce, and dude, it's so
good. We might as well shout them out. Shout out Pizza Pub.
Pizza Pub, yeah. They were going to pay me. They got a brand, the owner, he just bought it in the first of the year. He got a brand, a Pizza Pub branding iron that you like put in the fire. He told me he'd pay me if he could brand the Pizza Pub logo on my ass.
Hear me out.
Brand it on me. I'm like, dude, I was in for it until it jumped off a balcony, broke my ankle, and I'm like, dude, I'm too old for this content shit. I'm not going to fucking get a brand on me.
Hear me out. I think you could maybe work this with Travis, the new owner of the Pizza Pub.
Yeah.
I think, what if you told him, hey, one free pizza a month for the rest of my life? I will get the brand. A week, you think?
Dude,
you know what? When you get branded, that shit doesn't sit well in your butt. That shit,
bro,
gets infected.
Yeah, okay, so week
I'm literally week.
That's a lot of pizza, bro. Though. That's a lot of money.
I'm practically dead.
For them,
dude.
It's only like a little bit of dough and some sausage and some cheese. A
little bit of dough. Am I right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Little dough.
I mean, for them, it's not that much money.
Yeah.
Would you get branded for one free pizza? Let's say a month.
Here's the problem. I already told him I'm not going to do it because I'm trying to grow up and settle down. But now I'm considering.
Well, that's a lie.
Yeah, because I'm legitimately trying to ungrow. Is that a thing?
Ungrow.
Ungrow.
Grow down. You're trying to grow down.
Grow down, yeah. I'm trying to grow down, dude. That's the thing.
So maybe we need to reach out with Travis. Travis, if you're hearing this, hey, let's talk with Tyler. Even if he doesn't reach out to him.
I'll see you later when I'm looking for another pizza. Don't bother.
We're going to start a GoFundMe. We're going to raise the money, and we're going to get that fucking brand on your ass.
Do you think that'll work on GoFundMe?
How big is it? Is it like, it's big?
Shit, I don't know. I didn't get dimensions. I didn't really get into the logistics. Because
if it's like your whole cheek, then that's a pizza a week. If it's a quarter size or like a half dollar size, then it's a pizza a month.
I'm thinking at least 3 inches wide. 3 inches wide.
Whoa, that's 3 inches, dude. Holy
shit. Hey, yeah, yes, that is.
That's 3 inches. Everyone,
calm down. Okay, at least it's like 3 inches wide.
Whoa. I can only handle 2 inches.
Okay, let's say it's this big by this big.
Okay.
So that's like 5 inches.
Like a 3x5.
3x5.
Oof, dude, that's going to be a lot.
What is a lot of pizza? Realistically, everyone has a price. What is your price?
Every time I come in there, they give me pizza.
So, like, if I'm there, I get
pizza. Like, one a day. Opportunity for one a day. I'm not going to come in there one a day. I'm not the person that's going to be there one day. You're a legend at
that point.
Like, there has to be a limit.
That's a lot of hurt, bro. That's a lot of hurt.
Like, from a business standpoint, there has to be a limit.
They could become millionaires off that shit.
And they're going on TikTok.
That would be a brilliant TikTok.
They throw $1,000 on ads on a video of you getting your butt branded by their pizza. All of a sudden, they're marketing their pizza. It's selling in Walmart, Target. Boom.
That could be their marketing. It could be like a food challenge, you know? Like if you eat this pizza, you get it for free.
It comes with a mini brand in the pizza box.
Yeah, if you get this brand on your ass, you get free pizza for a year. Like, it should be this hand in hand. Like, if you want to nut up, shut up, and get the brand on your ass, you got yourself some za, dude.
Nut up, shut up, get in the truck, and go to Pizza Pub.
Yeah, heard that. That's my whole life.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what you got to do
sometimes. Here's the thing. Some...
some people can up Pizza the Hut. I'm going to say it. Controversial, hot take right now.
You think the Pizza Pub does out Pizza the Hut?
Oh, 100% out Pizza the Hut.
I think almost every.
Dude, hey, I'll tell you what. As a person that worked at Pizza Hut for a year and a half, Pizza Hut fucking sucks.
Oh, really? I can't,
honestly, hot Pizza take. Hut. Only one I find worse is Domino's. Otherwise, I think everything else is better.
Damn.
Domino's is like slight. I agree. Had Pizza Hut in years. So I don't. That just shows that I. I don't even know if there is a Pizza Hut.
That means you have good taste.
The garlic crust.
Little Caesars is kind of low for me.
It's low, but it's cheap. Like you can't beat it.
I've got it. Their deep dish shit is smooth.
Crazy bread slaps.
Crazy bread. Dude, I seen a video on how they make their sauce, and it turned me off on their sauce, so I know I just use my own sauce.
Dude. Oh, no.
It's not good.
Don't even tell me. I don't want to ruin it. Yeah.
It's pretty predictable. It's probably like, what they would make in the factory for the sauce I'm also doing, but like seeing the TikTok video of them doing it in the back before they put it in the cups, just like I was like, oh.
It was like,
I've worked in fast food and shit too, so I know all that shit.
Was it like that Chicken McNugget video? Because I just had a 20 piece last night thinking about
it. Oh, the pink slime. Like pink
slime.
Is that a real thing? I've heard that's fake.
They like put them into molds, you know? They like slime it into molds. That's crazy. But dude, I still eat it.
I mean, I heard that's not real.
Because it's like. He was like every part of the chicken, so it's just grounded up into a paste to where it can be chewed up, and then it's heated to where it becomes like that.
Our ancestors would be proud of us because that's how we were raised. You have to use every piece of the animal if you're going to eat
efficient.
Just grind the beak up and the brain up, throw it into a nugget, and give it to a 2-year-old kid. That's just what you do.
They did use every part, even though they were usually making clothes out of it instead of eating it. But they did.
Well, hey, I tell you what, if I needed a cardigan or a Chicken McNugget, dude, I'm going for the nugget, dude.
Let's bring it back here to Waterwave, Ricky.
Okay.
What is your future plans for Waterwave? What do you guys plan on doing here in the near future?
So one thing that we're releasing soon is our Minnesota Music Awards, where we had people vote on it for like a month, or nominate on it for like half a month, and then vote on it for the other half of the month. So then it was all fan-nominated, fan-voted, and then we're going to be doing our award show, I believe, February 19th, as long as everything goes fine, live streamed, and then like, you know, announcing who won and everything. And so that's going to be something that we're going to continue to do every year.
That's super cool.
Yeah, because City Pages, that was a magazine in Minneapolis, they used to do an award show for the whole city in our Twin Cities area, where it'd be like best restaurant, best burger, best ribs, best.
Mm-hmm. We do that in Pine City here, and that's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
So they would do that, but they actually closed a little over a year ago. Like their magazine company closed, and also the biggest hip hop radio station in Minneapolis closed.
Yeah.
So I was like,
sad deal.
I was like, sad deal for them, but like someone needs to fill that void. You know, like I don't know why they closed. I mean, they got bought out by some other company that's doing something different. So it's like, instead of just doing like an award show for the whole city, like let's just do what we know best is like music for now. So, you know, we have, it's like 23 different categories of like hip hop, Afro, pop, rock, favorite concert performers, all that type of stuff, DJs and whatnot. So that's happening soon. And then we're going to do that every year, hopefully getting better and better every year. Let people shoot their opinions to us and see how we could do it better.
Hell yeah.
Other than that.
That's great.
Trying to personal, I guess, Waterwave is trying to get out of the store, hire employees so that it can make money on its own, so we can do shit like we're doing today, like be able to do podcasts freely in its own little separate building, not attached to the store where we have to do it after hours or before hours.
Where you personally can focus on content and building the brand more than maintaining what the brand is right now.
Yeah, because originally Waterwave was never ever planned to ever have a retail store. Like that was never once in our business plan until one day we were like, let's get a space for studio and podcast, and then we found this spot and we're like, yo, like we could sell a lot more shit than here in here besides Waterwave merch in the lobby before people wait to go to their studio session and do their podcast. And we're like let's just go all in on this. Like we all work jobs before we open the store, and then we open the store and now this becomes our job. So it's still like you're still working the same amount of hours, you have your own job, but that's separate from like your media life, but it kind of all goes together, and it's like a walking, or it's like an interactive billboard. It's like a treat the store. People walk in, they ask, what does Waterwave TV mean? Yep. You're walking into a vintage store that sells shoes and vintage, and it's called Waterwave TV. Like it was supposed to be kind of like something that like draws, like, what is that? Like, why is it called that?
And questions are great.
Yeah. And you just let them know like, oh, this is what we do. And like, oh, you do this, isn't that? And whatnot, but so getting out of the store, being able to really amplify media, push the artists that we think have potential to blow, and have a whole media crew to where we can just make shit happen, almost like a Lyrical Lemonade type of thing. Where
oh,
we like,
love it.
You know what I mean? Like, pick.
That's how you got to meet Cole Bennett, too. Yep.
Oh, was, you met Cole Bennett, dude?
How crazy was that?
That was, he's one of my inspirations. Like him, Adam
Same
22.
For me, too.
I met my three out of four biggest inspirations for why I became like a businessman. Actually, four out of five.
Which is who?
So the one I met, Gary V, Adam 22, Hex, Optic Hex, or Hector Rodriguez from Optic, who started Optic. Who did you just mention?
Cole Bennett. Okay, yeah, I'm waiting for you.
I'm a lightweight. I've had two beers. I'm a lightweight.
I'm not gonna lie. That's the only guy I know.
Nate Shot.
Oh, yeah. I haven't met him yet,
but I met Gary V at the Call of Duty event when it was in Minnesota, and Hex at cool. that, and like Scumpy and like all the gamers, like I definitely looked up to those guys. But like business wise, like I got to meet those guys. Met Adam 22 at a Kendama the National Kendama.
Yes. Yes. Event,
and it was in Minneapolis at the Varsity Theater, right down the street from my house, like literally like a walk away. So I went there and I got to interview him and shit, and it was
crazy. Damn, so you got to interview him, like how was that? Like how did that go?
I shit my pants, basically, not physically but mentally. Shit my pants.
He's so cool.
Adam 22.
Gary V.
So I didn't get to interview Gary V.
Oh, okay. I thought that's who you were talking about.
No, so I got to meet Gary V at the Call of Duty.
But Adam 22.
He's the co-owner of the Minnesota Rocker. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not know that.
He co-owns the Minnesota Call of Duty team, so that's why he was there.
Damn.
So I just said what up to him, like just a little head nod.
Yeah.
And because I was walking up the stairs, and he was just staring at me, and I was like, just getting one of those. He was like, what up? And then I walked back, like after 2 minutes, and he was gone. I was like, damn.
You were trying to give him the cold shoulder. You're trying to big time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, yo, I'm just
because he was already like in a conversation with someone. I was like,
you're geeking out, and he gave you the opportunity. And
I know.
Like, big time in him.
I know.
I get it.
So you interviewed Adam 22.
Yeah.
How was that?
I had like a lot of shit planned, and then as soon as that camera, like, so we did it. It was a whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He was out here. I met him Friday at this one convention center. Introduced him who I was. I was like, yo, I'm this guy. Like, because he reacted to one of our guys, Calvino's music
And he
videos.
Shouted you guys out on his podcast, yep. too. I saw that
after,
clip.
This was after us meeting already.
That was fucking sweet.
First time he ever seen my face. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of me, but one time I braided my hair and put red beads in it.
No.
Like 3.5 years ago now at this point. And I was in a music video with my friend's song. So we submitted it. Like, he does reactions to it on his live stream.
Yeah.
So we submitted a song one day. This is when I was in college, too. And he reacted to it, and he roasted the fuck out of me.
Really?
Like, it was like, maybe next time don't let your white friends in the video, and like shit like this. And I went up to him at the event, and I was like, yo, you remember that one music video you reacted to with the guy with the red beads in his hair? And he looked at me, he's like, yeah. I was like, that was me. He's like, no way. Like, what the fuck? And then I was like, yeah, like, whole time, like, I do, like, a lot of similar stuff to you. And at this time, this was a long time ago, like, before he even hit it, like, 1,000 subs, or maybe just after 1,000 subs, like, pretty early on in our time and whatnot. And then I was like, yeah, like, nice meeting you. I took a picture with him, and that shit was just, like, iconic for me, like, just seeing him and, like, that
That's
shit
crazy.
Happening.
Crazy.
And then, so Saturday, we didn't link up with him because it was during Spring Jam time, so we had a little party that we were throwing at the U of M, and we invited him. I was like, remember, like, DMing, like, people he was with, like, yo, like, if you guys are looking for somewhere to, like, drink and, you know, whatever, party,
yeah.
vlog, you know, for the No Jumper shit, like, pull this party, it's going to be lit.
Yeah.
They didn't come because, obviously, they're at the Kendama shit. But then Sunday, I pulled back up at them at the Championship Sunday at Varsity Theater. And I tap a shoulder or whatever. I'm like, he's like, oh, shit, what's up? I was like, yo, you cool to do an interview after this or something? He's like, oh, maybe I'll let you know. And he went to go eat. He started walking back, and I'm just sitting there, like, not doing much or whatever. He walks back. He, like, sees me, and we go to ask him to use his lighter. He's like, yeah, we got you. We spark our little blunt or whatever, give him the lighter back. And then when we went to give the lighter back, he went back inside. The event ends. Everyone comes outside, so, like, whatever, a few hundred people are outside, and then we're just sitting there like, damn, like, do we go ask this guy again? Like, he knows I want to do it, but, like, I really have to go ask him again? And then he comes up, he sees us walking by, like, yo, you still want to do that interview? And I was like,
let's go.
To Kelvin real quick, and we started doing it, and then it's like, we're doing it, and everyone knows who Adam is there because he's like the biggest name there. Yeah. We go into this little alley next to Varsity Theater, and everybody watches.
That's sweet.
Everybody's Dope. Watching. I'm like, bro,
that's
like,
so cool.
I'm so scared though. Like, everyone's like, I've never did something in front of this many people. And
oh,
like,
that's,
this is like the guy that does what I do, but he's actually rich
yeah,
and famous
for
doing
sure.
it.
Yeah.
Like, so I just like, whatever. I asked him a lot of generic ass questions, but other than that, it was a surreal moment for sure. And then And then he brought it up on the podcast, like you said, when he shouted me out. He's like, this is the guy that interviewed me. And I actually sent him the shirt that he was wearing that first day because he's like, who has the, if anyone has this shirt, let me know. And it was a Nav V-Lone collab. And I had it and I was like, yo, I have the size you need, whatever. Like, he's like, all right, bet. Like, I'll pay for it, whatever. And I was like, no, don't worry about it. So I sent him the Nav V-Lone shirt with two Waterwave shirts, stickers, you know, the whole package because it's going to like him, not just like his little P.O. box. So he opened it. Whatever, wore the shirt on the next podcast.
Damn.
Not like the Waterway shirt, but the Nav, the V-Lone shirt.
Yep.
Brought the stickers out, like, shout out. He's like, I'll shout you on the podcast, whatever, appreciate you, and whatever. Said, shout out Waterway, held the stickers up and everything, and they talked about us for like two minutes.
Saw that.
And I was like, bet.
That's so cool. I screenshotted
that. I'm like, I still want to make merch of it, but him holding up the Waterway stickers.
That is so cool.
And then the next day or two later, he wore the Waterway shirt I sent him on his story, like hitting a kendama trick. And
Damn.
People were sending me that shit like crazy. Ooh. Like, it was Waterway television on the front, hitting a little trick with his girlfriend in the back, making breakfast or some shit. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was surreal.
That had to be a really cool experience for you to feel that. Like, yeah, you're.
Dude, that's cool. That for me is like that
the
is
goal.
That your Adam 22 is my Cole Bennett. Like that's like
we started with asking how I met Cole Bennett, and then we talked about the Adam 22 story.
Insane, dude. Right. Every time I see a music video from Lyrical Lemonade, that's like that's my drive to like push myself for doing other cool videos.
The Cole
like,
Bennett story is
love Cole Bennett.
Like meeting Cole Bennett story is just as crazy, honestly. Like we weren't supposed to be backstage. Like we pulled up, we bought tickets to go to this festival, but we knew we did a media company and we were like, we can figure out a way to get back there because we do this shit and we can act like we're supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. And then, the first day, like we actually, I did an interview with this artist named Nestle.
Yeah.
Pretty popular. I don't know if you know who that is. A long time ago. And his manager is also the manager for Lil Nar.
Okay.
I know who Lil Nar is, but Lil Nar was performing at Summer Smash on a little side stage. So I seen the manager and I was like, yo, what's up? He's like, oh shit, I haven't seen you in like whatever, like 2 years, whatever it's been. And then after, he's like, oh, talk to me after, whatever. He came up to me. He's like, yo, like, what you guys doing out here? I'm like, shit, we just bought tickets, but I'm out here vlogging. Like, I bought the vlog camera. I'm recording every set, uploading it to YouTube that night. I'm getting the view. Like, I'm on that. He's like, well, shit, I got some more artist wristbands. I'm like, you got more art? Like, all right, bet. He hands me one. I'm like, shit, I'm with two other people. Pulls out two more. He's like, these are only good for tonight, though. Like, this was like the last 2 hours of the event. So I run back to them, like, yo, we got fucking artist passes. The whole time they're buying a bottle in the VIP section. I'm like, yo, like, let's go backstage. They're like, oh, we just bought a butt, whatever. So they hang out there for a little bit. I go back right away. They come back a little bit later. I walk past Cole once. I'm like, damn. Like, as soon as I walked in, he was right there.
You got to say something.
I didn't
you
say that on the first time. I was like, all right, well, he's here. He's back here.
Yeah.
Cooling.
Right.
But I didn't actually meet him until later that night, like when the event was over and we were literally scrounging, like, all right, what artists are out here that we could interview real quick? I seen him, I like, I have to go up to him. And I told him about Waterwave and he gave me a contact, like the person that does like their artist or their brand relations of like collaborations and shit. So he gave me that contact. So I have that contact. I haven't pitched him any ideas yet because I don't know what to do.
Right.
Exactly. But I got that and then I actually met him again later in that weekend, like the Sunday or the third day of the festival, because an artist manager that I've had relationships with before asked us to do media for them. So we got media passes for like the rest of the weekend, just off of like him be like, yo, you're out here. Why don't you tell me?
That's brought crazy.
Us, got us media passes for the whole weekend to cover his artist and shit. And then I got to talk to Cole again and basically just actually have a real conversation with him. Cause it was at night, like late as hell where everyone was drunk and shit. So it was kind of hard to actually like let him know.
Right.
So then I got to like re-put it in his mind and then actually got connected with his DJ Glow Up Jake. So he followed us and like we've been talking about a lot of shit together and
so, oh, that's
like,
so fucking
so I have
cool.
like his basically best friend connect that actually communicates with us.
Yeah.
So it's like we're pretty close to like making that connection happen.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that is so cool. I'm so pumped for you cuz like
so excited,
dude, that outlet alone, like I'm a huge fan of Lyrical Lemonade, huge fan of Cole Bennett. Like everything they do is electric. I love it. I love it. I consume all their content. What were you going to say, Tyler? You look like you got something to say.
I got something to say because I just got two missed phone calls here. Let's just roll through. I got a voicemail.
It's probably the pizza spot.
My name is Claire. I'm with Pine City Pizza Club. I saw that you placed an online takeout order around 4:30, and it's still sitting here. So I just wanted to call and check in. And
yo, they're gonna hold that pizza.
And if I could do anything to help you with that,
hey, it's still leftover. Leftover pizza's good, dude.
They're probably scared this will happen to you.
Yeah, they're like, this guy died. Be like, I could go big time. I'm like, sorry, I had an interview with this gas.
Sorry, I had to do an interview. Time.
Yeah, but like, oh man. I had Waterwave walk in the door. Couldn't get the pizza.
You know
sorry,
what,
dude.
Tyler? We're running close on time, anyways. Ricky, it was great having you on. Seriously, anytime, anything that we can help you with, anything content wise, anything planning wise, strategy wise, you tell us, we're there.
Well, here's the thing.
We're ready to go.
You talk about, you're big into the small artists in Minneapolis and stuff and the music scene and stuff. And is that mainly what you do on your podcast?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of it's music artists because that's a majority of our followers and that's a majority of our demand. Like people that are asking me for interviews, like is all artists. But I like to have like designers or painters or clothing brand or other podcasters come on and like, you know, do their show and shit.
That's so weird. We're other podcasters. No, I'm telling you right now, I'd be in. I'd love your set and stuff when I see it online. Yeah. Everybody check out Waterwave TV on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, everything. You got big things coming. Yes, sir, love to hear it.
Absolutely. No, yeah. Ricky, thank you for coming on. Again, if there's any way that we can help you in furthering the Waterwave movement, let us know. I mean, we don't got as big a following as you guys, but yeah, hey, no, we're trying.
I definitely had some ideas in mind. I was going to talk off the podcast, but yeah, I definitely had a few ideas.
We got all night. We got all night.
Beer's
flowing like wine, at least for me.
My girlfriend might get a little mad if we got all night. But,
oh, you know,
she'll just be more happy. No, I don't got to go
is
anywhere.
Is she here with you?
No.
Oh, shit.
But no, I'm saying, no, she'll be glad that I waited if I had one more beer than I was supposed to. So she'll be happy. That's why I said we might have to go to the casino so I could.
Absolutely. See what, maybe see go what play a little blackjack.
All right. We can do that.
All right. Thanks for coming
on. Nice meeting you, brother.
Yeah, thanks for listening to On Tap with the Boys. Be sure to follow us on social media and stay updated. Tune in next week for another episode about Tyler's problems.
I'm absolutely amped for some of this leftover pizza right now. Fucking Sam's about Sam's to blow the so fucking. Bad.
He's running
out of here. I've never seen this guy move like this before. All right, we'll see you next week.